This is Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matter. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. They say you can't get a job without experience. But how do you get experience without having a job? It's the question virtually every college student or recent graduate faces. In Getting from College to Career, Lindsay Pollack offers a definitive guide for building the experience, skills, and confidence needed for college graduates starting a major job search. Her 90 action-oriented tips include strategies ranging from the simple to the expert. Here's a recently recorded conversation with Lindsay and AMA Seminar Portfolio Manager Terry Seaman.
Lindsay Pollack is a writer, editor, and speaker specializing in career advice for young professionals. She is the co-author of two career advice books and has written for Marie Claire magazine and Metro New York newspaper. Lindsay frequently speaks at universities and corporations across the country. She is the author of Getting from College to Career, 90 Things to Do Before You Join the Real World. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me.
Lindsay, could you tell us briefly about the book and what motivated you to write it originally?
Sure. It was something that had been on my mind since my own graduation from college, which is now about 12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know what to do, and I could have gone to my career services office, but instead I was completely paralyzed and sat in my parents' house for 6 months. It was actually for me after graduate school, which is what many of us do when we don't know what to do after college. And I'd always thought about writing a book on this topic. And when my sister came around 8 years later to her college graduation, and I started to watch her go through the process, that's really when it clicked for me that it wasn't just me. I think we all think that it's just our problem. And so when my sister graduated from college, she started to ask me for advice, and I started to collect the answers that I had given her from a big sister perspective. And what she kept saying was, this is so much more helpful from a real big sister than from an HR expert or from my career services office. So that personal touch combined with really good advice is what led to the book.
I'm curious as to the research that you did for this book, because I know that you conducted a number of interviews. Could you tell us, where did you get the information that found its way into the 90 things?
I started through networking, which is a huge section of the book. I really believe that networking is the way you can find out virtually anything.
I agree.
So I tapped my own network through, I think I had about 300 emails in my personal database, sent an email about what I wanted to do, and said, anyone you know who's interested in this topic, please send them my way. And what I got were people from all across the country, and I kept an eye on the news. And anytime I saw an article that related to my topic, for instance, there was a story on Goucher College in Maryland being the first school to require study abroad. So I emailed the guy quoted in the article and said, do you think this is a trend? Do you think knowing another culture will be crucial in the future? And that started a dialogue, and he ended up in the book. So various ways, but I really wanted to make sure that I got perspectives from across the country, from all different kinds of employers, all different kinds of students. And most books focus on corporate America, which is incredibly important and a huge employer, but a lot of students might want to try something different. So I tried to, with 90 tips, be maybe not all things to all people, but as many things to as many people as I could and not just rely on my own experience.
In that research, were there any particular big surprises from any of those audiences that you took the pulse of?
The surprise was probably how in line with my thinking it was, in that who you know is so incredibly important, and most of the success stories related to personal experiences and personal connections rather than job hunts online. That was a big theme. Something that came out was the number of students who really wanted to do service projects. And I think we see this as a sign of Generation Y, the youngest generation today, the interest in Teach for America, City Year, Habitat for Humanity, giving back as part of a first job experience, and the curiosity and the concern of whether that would be helpful for their future career, which I believe it absolutely is. But I really saw a trend towards giving back social causes in the students, which was great, and a huge tension over making the right decision. The fear and the concern, will this be the perfect first job? So I developed a whole section on confidence building. I called it A Job Is Not a Soulmate. You know, you can't mess up that badly. Realizing how much of this was sort of self-help in addition to career advice is something that I think a lot of books and a lot of advisors miss. It can be a very scary transition in life.
Can be a very scary transition. What would you say are the biggest mistakes that college students and recent graduates make in making this transition from school to career?
I have a tip in the book called Avoid the Biggest Mistake. Watching TV and just hoping something will happen, mm-hmm. unless you move forward and take deliberate actions to mm-hmm. get a job, to advance your career, to start a business, whatever it is you want mm-hmm. in your career, nothing will happen. Action always yields results. And the only way to figure out what you want is to start trying, sort of lose the fear of failure and move forward. One of my tips at the very basic level, do one thing a day mm-hmm. for your career search so you continuously move forward.
Totally agree.
Another mistake is too much online job searching.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
With students online, what's the average now? 26, 27 hours mm-hmm. a day. Mm-hmm. There's such an ease to looking online for everything. And if you only use the internet for your job search, mm-hmm. you're only going on job websites. Yes. You're missing out on probably 80% of opportunities, which are in newspapers, at professional associations, through your personal contacts, through job fairs, all of the networking, which we all know is the best way to get a job.
Exactly.
You're missing out on if you're in front of your computer screen. Use it, but maybe 20-80.
Right, right. Make sure it's in balance, that it's the 20, not the 80.
Exactly. Another big mistake is putting all of your eggs in one basket or not casting a wide enough net.
Oh, okay.
So students get this idea in their head, well, I was an accounting major, so all I can look at are accounting firms. Mm-hmm. Or I was an English major, so I have to be an English teacher. Or my dad's a lawyer, so I have to be a lawyer. So I like to say, get rid of the shoulds and be sure to look at all of the different opportunities that are available. So if you've only been thinking about big Fortune 500 companies, think about smaller organizations. Mm-hmm. Think about nonprofit organizations, universities, hospitals, service organizations. If you've only been thinking certain job titles, do some research, talk to your friends, see what else exists with the skills that you have. Mm-hmm. If you're only looking at one or two companies or one or two job titles, you're really going to maximize your opportunities if you look elsewhere. Temping, part-time work, all the different opportunities that are out there can turn into bigger things. Mm-hmm. So don't artificially limit yourself to only what you know or only the companies that recruit on campus, which mm-hmm. is another big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Be creative. There's so much out there mm-hmm. and you just have to start looking for it. Don't mm-hmm. just rely on what you know.
Okay. What else?
One of the biggest complaints from the recruiters who I speak to mm-hmm. is students walk into a job interview. So they get to that point of the interview, they're really close, and they know nothing about the company. With the internet,
there's so much information available.
So much information, and a company, rightly so, expects that you have done mm-hmm. your homework before
right.
you walk in. A woman I know who runs a small business hires a lot of recent grads, mm-hmm. and the first question she asks on an interview is, have you looked at our website? And if they say no, she ends the interview.
That's it right there.
It's that important. Yeah. And so one of the tips that I give is if you are applying for a job at ABC Corporation, mm-hmm. set up a free news alert online, Google or Yahoo or mm-hmm. any of the search engines for ABC Corporation. So mm-hmm. any story, any press release, any blog post about that company will be emailed right to your inbox and you won't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
Think about somebody who today goes in to apply for a company that filed for bankruptcy yesterday. You want to know these sorts of
exactly. Yes.
In advance. That could seriously damage your chances.
Totally agree.
So know as much as you can about the company. It raises the level of conversation you can have in a job interview. And it's really inexcusable not to have that knowledge.
I noticed on your blog, you recently had something about the Bear Stearns situation. And you had a series of tips on what to do if you had been applying for a job there.
I did. Yeah. I had an offer that any student who had a rescinded offer from Bear Stearns
right.
could get some free coaching from me. And interestingly enough, the students who contacted me said it was one of the best things that had ever happened to them because it was so newsworthy. They could then use that as their pitch to other mm-hmm. companies who wanted to know, what was it like? What did they say to you? How did you find out? And they became the Bear Stearns kids and used that to their advantage. Hey, but imagine a student not knowing what had happened, not being aware of that.
Exactly.
And it turned into an opportunity. So you never know what can happen. Nothing is bad at how you treat it.
I agree.
On that same topic of taking action every day,
yes.
I'm a huge advocate of reading the newspaper mm-hmm. every day,
mm-hmm.
educating yourself, staying on top of the news. I got my first job at a website called workingwoman.com, which unfortunately no longer exists. But the way I got it was a colleague of mine was reading Business Week magazine. There was a story about this new website.
Mm-hmm.
She faxed it to me. the old-fashioned way before you could email a link,
right,
and
right.
said, check this out. And by reading the article, I cold called the HR department of this new company, and I ended up getting an interview. So read the news every day. Read the essential publications for your industry. Mm-hmm. If you want to work in finance, you've got to be reading the Wall Street Journal, because everyone you want to work with is reading it, and
exactly.
you want to look like an insider. Find out what professional associations to join. Take online classes. Keep up. Mm-hmm. Become an insider in your industry even mm-hmm. before you know what it is. And for the students who say, well, I don't know what I want to do, start reading things mm-hmm. on every industry. Mm-hmm. If you mm-hmm. find yourself reading things you're not enjoying, that might not be a good career. So mm-hmm. tip number one, read the newspaper, educate yourself, mm-hmm. research every day. Tip number two, make sure everyone around you knows what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. I think there's a myth that networking means handing out business cards to a million strangers, cold calling lots of people you've never met before. Mm-hmm. Start with people you know. Network with your neighbors, your friends. Talk to the kids who graduated a year ahead of you. They usually know more about the jobs opening up at their companies than
point.
If you were networking with the CEO. They don't know what to do. You want the people who have the ear to the ground. So network with your friends. Make sure your parents know. Mm-hmm. Get your parents on your side. Get them helping you flipping through the papers. Have a village around you helping with your job search, because everyone really does want to help.
Any other tips to share at this point?
I have one more that I want to mention.
Go ahead.
It's about persistence. We're in a downturning economy, which can be very hard when you're at the bottom of the mm-hmm. totem pole.
Yeah.
Being the one on top of people's minds, being the one who's persisting and calling back without being annoying, mm-hmm. without being a stalker, mm-hmm. using mm-hmm. websites like LinkedIn.com or Facebook, or using a combination of email, a LinkedIn message, an occasional phone call, all that research you're doing on articles, send a story to someone who might be interested.
Oh, yeah. mm-hmm.
Show up at events. Networking is not just about who you know, it's about who knows you, who mm-hmm. sees you frequently and recognizes you mm-hmm. as someone who's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So make yourself visible and persist in a wide variety of ways so that when an opportunity comes up, because there are fewer now, mm-hmm. you'll be the one that people think of. And anytime anyone helps you, a great way to persist is to say thank you as often as possible.
Absolutely. You've mentioned Facebook. Do you have any particular advice about this topic that you're touching on now of their image maintenance, any do's and don'ts around their use of platforms such as these?
I just want everyone to know, no matter what anyone tells you, recruiters and hiring managers are all over Facebook. They mm-hmm. are checking you
they
out.
Are. Okay.
You may not think it's right. You may not think it's legal. You may not think it's moral, but it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be aware that anything you post is not private. And
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, when you're on Facebook, and I'm on Facebook and mm-hmm. encourage people to poke me or throw pigs at me or whatever
right,
they're doing
right,
on Facebook
right.
nowadays, it feels very private. And
yeah.
it feels like just your friends are hanging out and writing funny things to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say recruiters don't always have the same sense of humor
mm-hmm.
as your friends do. So don't. Sexy, inappropriate photos.
Right.
Lots of profanity.
Mm-hmm.
Joining inappropriate clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Anything about drinking or drugs. And particularly the profile photo, you mm-hmm. might have 4,000 photos. I don't know a lot of recruiters who are going to go through all of them, but they're going to notice which one you choose to identify with as your one primary photo.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you from being on there, I've seen a lot that are not so appropriate. On the flip side, if you have an appropriate profile, it's a great way to find recruiters. A lot of companies have pages. They love being contacted on Facebook. It makes them feel cool
mm-hmm.
that you're using that venue that they've set up and convinced their CEOs is a good idea.
Right.
When you contact a recruiter or a hiring manager or a potential colleague on Facebook, it shows that you're acknowledging they're in that world. And so I think you can really benefit from it. I like to say, give your profile a PG rating. Make sure if your grandmother looked at it, she'd be proud.
Lindsay, any closing words for our rising seniors and our recent graduates?
Choosing your career is something that happens over time. So I really would encourage students not to feel that the decision they make today is going to be a lifelong choice.
Mm-hmm.
Experiment, enjoy it, don't get too stressed. See this as one step in a process and not the be-all, end-all. And I wish them good luck, and I hope that they enjoy this time, because it's really a gift and a fun time to explore.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you very much.
Hi, this is Kevin Lee with AMA EdgeWise. AMA has many various offerings in business education, and one that we're especially proud of is Operation Enterprise. Here to tell us more about Operation Enterprise are Marina Marmot, who is Director of Operation Enterprise, Jill Greenbaum, who is an AMA faculty member and president of iCoach iDevelop, and Sheena Lindahl, co-founder and president of Extreme Entrepreneurship Education and a former Operation Enterprise participant. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Marina, let's start with you. Tell us about Operation Enterprise. What is its mission and why does AMA consider it important?
Sure, Kevin. Operation Enterprise is an excellent opportunity for high school and college students who are interested in business, management, leadership, who want to make a difference and just succeed in the business world. We support the big AMA mission of personal development through various programs for young adults that we run throughout the year. We offer a nice variety of interactive activities, including workshops, panel forum, task force presentations, full-day management simulation. Since the program is very intense, the students take advantage of the setting, the college campus, and local sightseeing usually round out this wonderful program. We do offer both full and partial scholarships for the deserving students. If someone wants to register, you can always visit our website, amanet.org/OE, or please call us at 1-800-634-4262.
And Sheena, you are a former participant of Operation Enterprise. What did you get out of your time participating in the program, and where is it taking you in your career?
I got a number of things. I think this is the first time that I ever had the opportunity to interact with successful business people in a one-on-one way. There was a way for me to ask questions, and they were there and would answer any of those questions, and a lot of them even offered to stay in touch after the events. So that helped me focus what my passions were and think about where I wanted to go in the future and define that career path. A lot of the people that I met at the program and went through these experiences with, it's such an intensive experience that you really bond together, and a lot of those people are still some of my best friends today. Lastly, I have to say, I think the simulation, which is one part of the Operation Enterprise program, was the best training that I ever received in preparation to become an entrepreneur or business owner. Because a lot of the things, from having to figure out how to get massive amounts of work done in one day and having to define what's the most important and really prioritize that, to how to work with employees and people that you're hiring and people that you're having trouble with and you have to hold accountable, those are all lessons that were really driven home that day in a way that to this day have never experienced in another business program. All in all, I think it really brought my passions together and helped me define what I wanted to do with my life, what career path I wanted to follow. And then it's helped me be successful once I've chosen that career path.
And so, Jill, as one of the facilitators, do you notice a difference in the kids in the time that you're there?
Absolutely. There is an enormous change in the students themselves and also as a group from the time they begin when they're figuring out what this is all about to the time when they leave, where they've come together as separate teams. They've worked through some of the issues that have come up and they've come out the other side and they just have a totally different perspective on the experience.
Jill, you are a faculty member of AMA, but you take time out of your busy schedule to be a facilitator for Operation Enterprise. What is your interest in the program, and tell us more about your role in the program?
Sure. What interests me is that I love teaching, being formerly a teacher and principal, and so I love working with students. What I bring to the program is knowledge and practice around leadership, communication, and personal skills. I love delivering those sessions. I love working with the students, helping them discover their strengths and their challenges, and working them through in this very intensive program.
Can I add something? Unlike other youth conferences where the speaker comes for just 1 hour presentation for 400 students, our speakers come for more than 1 or 2 days. They have some time to interact with the students in an informal atmosphere, and the students have a chance to get some coaching and mentoring from the speakers.
Sounds like a pretty special commitment on your part, Jill.
It is. It's a commitment that I do very happily. I love giving multiple sessions. It helps me learn more about the students and support them more. In addition, it gives me a chance to really share my expertise in informal conversations. It's a commitment, but it's one that gives back in so many ways.
Once again, if anyone's interested or knows of a student who might benefit from the Operation Enterprise program, you can find out more by visiting amanet.org/OE. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember, we'd really like your feedback, so please drop us an email note at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That's 800-697-3406. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.